to speak on the liberation of the soul found in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Somebody read that aloud for me, please.
Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
Amen. Thank you. Jesus spoke in parables. Jesus spoke in parables because he was given a natural base with a spiritual meaning. All the words of God, the whole Bible, the reason why most people can't understand their Bibles is because the Bible is written in three dimensions. It's first written naturally, and you see the natural word, and you have to find what did the natural word mean to the spiritual man. So the first dimension is the natural, and the second dimension is the spiritual. And the third dimension would be the fullness of both dimensions. In other words, God speaks a natural word. It has a spiritual meaning, but it's going to bring forth something in you. And every time you hear a natural word, you say, what's the spiritual meaning? And when you get the spiritual meaning, you say, what is it to do to me? Amen. And you will find that your Bible has meaning. Outside of that, the Bible has no meaning. I don't know how a carnal man reads the Bible. That thing should kill him. Because it wouldn't have any sense to a carnal person. The Bible definitely says that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. You cannot read it with natural intention. But if you read it naturally, some people have a way. Open their Bibles and find a passage. And he said, thou shalt not go into Egypt. And say, oh, Lord, I mustn't go out this morning. You see? That is just exactly how divination is done. Because we used to have the book of faith, and you stick, and you find a number, and it gives you a prophecy for the day. And this is how the divination is done, been done from way back in Babylon with Nimrod and all those people who built up the zodiac. Some people read their horoscope. Did it ever occur to you, how could one horoscope mean the same thing for 10 million, 20, 30 million people who were born the same day? Somebody's tricking somebody. And we just gullible and fall for these things. So we've been feeding on a lot of trash. And to feed on the Word of God, you're going to have to spit the trash out of your mouth. Because your spiritual mouth is your mind. And if your mouth is filled with stuff, you can't take in anything out. Amen. So, this is a situation. And especially our people, we have been really under the heel of wrong teachings. And it would be shocking to you to know why some of these guys teach us these wrong things. Just to make their own profit off us. Amen. As I was speaking the other night, I spoke about the holidays. You ever seen one of those in your Bible? Not one of them in your Bible. They make these holidays, and the church fix them up to suit the merchants. And you know you can buy the same thing after the Christmas is over. You can buy that thing for a third of the price. Yes, right. Two-thirds of the price.
That's right.
And yet, because there's a Christmas rush and a fever going, you're rushing down the street. I go in the shopping center and I stand up and watch the poor people. So, oh my God. Right. They're just taken. You know what the word Christmas means? They take the word Christ and they put on the mass onto it. And it means the mass of Christ. Now you say you're not a Catholic and you're not keeping any mass, but you're keeping the mass of Christ just as they set it up. Now, if I were going to keep Jesus' birthday, would I light a heap of lights and spend all this unnecessary money. Would I make such a thing of it and make it a big ball? That's what everybody's having, a big ball. How could you keep a man like Jesus' birthday having a big ball, dances, liquor, drunkenness, revelry? Oh, don't you see? Church people should wake up. Amen. Then they palliate you and they have a little church program. But the program is to get some money. You see? And so we have been deceived all our lives. It's kind of difficult to be unwashed, but the young people have a better chance than us old people to get washed from the things that we have been brainwashed in. But I'm telling you, God has been delivering us from I was a child, I got delivered from Christmas. And you know how we got delivered from Christmas? One night, all five of us set up to find out who was putting that thing in that stocking. And we decided that we would pretend to sleep. We would go to bed early, pretend to all sleep. And then we would crack this mystery. And the older boy, he couldn't contain himself. He cried out, "Mama, I have seen you." And that was the end of our Christmas. But we found out, even as kids, that the whole thing was a hoax. The Santa Claus. Imagine a man going to palm off a thing like this on an intelligent people. Santa means saint. That's not true.
You sure what?
That means, let me show you what it is. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Satana. You see, if I was going to speak, suppose your name is Martin and I was going to write you Saint Martin, I would put San Martin. But if, because it's masculine, it's a man. But if I was going to speak of a woman, Santa Maria, Santa Rosa. You see, so Santa is the feminine of saint. So this here couldn't mean, this Santa Claus couldn't mean Saint Claus or whatever it is. And they say it has something to do with Saint Nicholas, but it's not true. You look in your dictionary. The dictionary says this definitely has nothing to do with Saint Nicholas. You know why? Santa Claus was going on long before Saint Nicholas was born. The whole thing comes from Babylon. And they used to have this thing down in Babylon. And what they did was to transfer it over into the church. Actually, the thing you call Christmas is Saturnalia. And it is the worship of the sun, the death of the sun, and the rebirth of the sun when the sun starts coming back in its strength until summer. And this is what they call Saturnalia. And if you check in your encyclopedias, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And all the worship with the green tree cut down and put in the house, all that was part of the Saturnalia. Before anybody judge me, turn with me your Bibles. Before we go into this message, let's just check up on something here. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10. And in verse 2, let's read from 1. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speak unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the sights of signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, and deck it with silver and gold. Mm-hmm. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they can do neither evil nor good. And we follow the customs of the heathen. Now this book, this here, was written 600 years before Jesus. So it had to be, amen, something that was going on before Jesus. Moreover, any one of you who spend the time going to the library, look up Christmas, look up Easter, I-S-H-I-S-H-T-A-R. That's not an English word at all. And that's what you call Easter. And that is the goddess Easter, or Easter. And this goddess Easter was supposed to be born out of an egg, a colored egg. And she's supposed to have been birthed without mother or father, immaculately conceived. You see? And eventually they call the same woman the Madonna. Down in Babylon, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about now. It sounds like now, eh? But all these little things, if you would just spend a little time to look them up yourself, you'd find how we have been taken. Because we do not keep the Jewish Passover. Because Christ Jesus is our Passover. So we don't need another Passover. And Jesus said, as oft as he eat this bread and drink this wine, remember his death. So you remember his death every time you eat the communion, and you take the communion and you commune with the saints, you remember the death of Jesus. You don't need to wait until once a year to keep up a special time, and nobody knows the right time. Except the Jews have a Passover time, and our time when Jesus was crucified was the Passover. Jesus wasn't crucified at Easter. He was crucified at Passover. So if we were going to keep a time, why didn't we keep the Jews' time instead of the heathen's time? Because the heathen are worshipping Nimrod and Ishtar and Venus and all these. Is the same name, the same woman have all these names, Aphrodite. Look up any one of these names and you see the history of what you're doing. And those people used to do the same thing you used to do. Fast for 40 days. Have a Lent period. You ever seen anything about Lent in your Bible? See? There's nothing named Lent in your Bible. See? We need to go back to the Word of God. Now, this scripture we just read here says, a woman took a piece of leaven and she put it in 3 pieces of bread, dough, meal, call it anything, but it's a dough. She put this piece of leaven in these 3 pieces of dough. And she said, what happened is that the leaven jumped from this one to this one to this one until all was leaven. And Jesus said, that is like what the kingdom of heaven is. Now, which kingdom could be like that? What would the Lord be talking about? Let us turn to Luke 20. Luke 17:20 and 21. Somebody read that for me aloud.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus said now, the kingdom of God is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. You are the measures of meal. Amen. And he said that the kingdom of God is within you. So God was describing salvation.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is you. This is your spirit. And this is your soul. And this is your body. Remember, tonight we're speaking about the liberation of the soul. Now, Jesus said the soul will be liberated by something that will be planted in the spirit, and it will spread to the soul. And it will spread from the soul to the body. What is this? What is it that God is talking about that is going to be in your spirit? It's going to spread from your spirit to your soul, and it's going to spread from your soul to your body. It's just a little more than that. The Holy Ghost, but the effect. You understand? First of all, you receive the Holy Spirit in your spirit. The Bible says, His Spirit make what? No, come on. The word that says His Spirit come together with your spirit. All right. I wanted the exact Bible words. Bear it witness. His Spirit bear it witness with your body. Come on. Somebody come to get the Holy Ghost. And they just shaking themselves. You want to receive the Holy Ghost, but you're shaking themselves. Somebody said, you must say blah, 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 blah. And some people are trying to receive the Holy Ghost from the body. The Holy Ghost comes from the spirit.
Amen.
You see me? When you receive the Holy Ghost through the spirit, the body will move.
Amen.
But you don't try to bring off something physical in order to make the Holy Ghost come. His Spirit bear it witness with what? Your Spirit, that we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. So the witness is spirit to spirit. Some people mistake emotions for spirit. Amen. You mistake emotions for spirit. Emotion is soul. I'm going to tell you about that tonight. Emotion is soul. Mind is soul. You see? Desires is soul. Will is soul. So when you preach and start to preach about your soul, you know what he's talking about now. He's talking about your mind, the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person try to change your mind,
mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. When a person try to impress your mind, what's he doing?
Thank you, Jesus.
He's trying to turn your soul.
Oh, my Jesus.
When an advertisement in the paper try to put the thing in such a way to make you buy it. It's your soul they're trying to convince. When they put the little mannequins and the different dress windows downtown, and they set them a certain way, and they set them with another pole, and they fix them, they're after your soul. They expect you to lust after them.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And they learn how to attack your soul. when you want to catch a fly. You put something looking like sugar. Amen. And it gets there and gets fastened. It can't come out. All the beautiful paint on the cars. It's to catch you. Remember we went down one day and we saw a car, and boy, it was so pretty. It was a special, a Fair Lane, it was a special. And this thing was so, the paint was so pretty. Mm-hmm. It was a two-tone, blue and white. Mm-hmm. And a silver blue and white. And we just loved the car. Forgot to test it out, whether it could run or not. Man, when we jump into it, it went, you know, and it just move off. I said, oh man, we didn't go further than to our home. The car couldn't go over any hill after that. They just fixed it up to sell it. Bless the Lord. Soul. Hallelujah. We have to watch our souls. We have to watch how we think. We have to watch the things we desire. We have to watch the things we will to do. We have to watch our emotions. And when God says, watch, this is what he's talking about. You know, we were in a church and the Lord spoke a word and said, behold, I send to thee, watch. And you know what the brethren thought? That God said they must watch one another. Everybody turned watchman over the other person. He forgot to watch himself. Yeah. You brethren have been in Pentecostal church. You know what I'm talking about. People say they are the watchman. God put you up as a watchman, and they don't watch themselves at all. All they watch is other people. Yes, this is the situation. So here we are in a new era. God speaking a new message of liberation to a new ministry. And God is calling even the old ministry into the new ministry. Amen. Of liberation to set people free. Amen. Hallelujah. To stop binding people, for Jesus Christ has set his people free and no man should be binding. Amen. We go into the churches and the churches are more bondage. Amen. Than we were in outside the year.
That's right.
And see, the laws and the rules and the regulation, the thou shalt not and the thou shalt. Blessed be to God Almighty. No church is going to keep you righteous.
Amen.
If you're not out to be righteous, no matter what rules and regulations the church make, you will still live sinful and wicked.
Amen.
And still keep going to church. And we found out after a while, the worst people were at the top. Because the real decent Christians wouldn't enter into the fighting to get up there.
Amen.
It was a tussle and a war. Amen. You had to have horns to be up there. With the hierarchy. Blessed be to God, in Jesus there is no hierarchy.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus there is no hierarchy. Jesus Christ wants the people who have Jesus Christ at the head.
Amen.
And when Jesus is the head, then you don't have to go following anybody down the drain.
Amen.
Now, here we are, therefore. The Holy Spirit, in your spirit, crying, Abba Father. Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, first of all, let me start at the beginning. You were dead, stone dead.
Mm-hmm.
You had no love of God. You had no desire for good. You had no mind to serve God. You had no emotions that were from heaven and godly. You had no will, therefore, to live holy and righteous. Good. Then Jesus Christ came. Somebody brought the word to you. You accepted it. And the blood of Jesus hit your soul. And a dead soul come alive. See what happened? That's what the blood of Jesus Christ did for you. Now, it's peculiar that from I've been a boy and I hear people talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, I've never heard a minister explain what it is. The blood of Jesus Christ, they say. And if you ask about what is the blood of Jesus, they would think you're the most ignorant person, and yet they don't know. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is the life energy from Almighty God, which revitalizes and gives life to the soul of man. Hallelujah. Sometimes you feel a little low, you take some vitamin tablets. That's for the body. Amen. They boost up the body. Amen. But Jesus Christ boosts the soul. The blood of Jesus Christ is a life force or an energy that has been let loose in the earth, and man can reach to it by faith. If you believe it is there, hallelujah, it is there. Amen. So you see what happened in Egypt. There were these people, and the death angels were coming through at midnight to kill anybody who was found outside. God didn't tell the death angels to kill Egyptians and not to kill Israelites. No, sir. Any Israelite who was in the wrong position, you'd be killed. And some Egyptians were not killed who should be killed, because they were hiding in Israelitish houses. Yes. So we found the death angel come through, and he was going through to take blood. But he came to a house, and there was a bright light over the top. The glory of God was over the top there and on the sides of the door. And the angel couldn't stand it. He turned away from that house. Mm-hmm. He went to another house. The same thing. He turned away. He turned over to Egypt. And there was no light on the door. He went right in and killed. Hallelujah. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking, that blood that was put over there was an ordinary animal blood. Why did that animal blood turn back to that angel? Because the people who put it there put it in faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And their faith created deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if we know the power that we have here tonight. The power we have in this little room tonight. Oh, I'm so sorry for us sometimes. When I see us just meandering and farming the fool and not doing what we need to do. But blessed be the God Almighty, God has given us power over all the power on earth. And yet we are the most wretched people. Because we're not using it. We have not been taught to use it. We have not been taught to operate the powers of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We were down in Pharma City last week. And there was this sister who had a motor car accident. She had broken her knee three places. Her kneecap was in three pieces. Her shin bone was split down in front. We prayed for her. She got up and she walked around the room and jumped around. But somebody didn't believe, so they sent her back to the doctor to get an x-ray. The doctor couldn't find any broken bones. It's simple, very simple. God said, whatever you have in your mind, whatsoever you desire in your mind, believe it, and he'll do it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you a chart of how it works. And if you know how it works, it will be very, very simple to you. You see, I'll show you that soon. But let us look at the soul first. The soul is now alive. So as a living creature eats, feeds, every living creature feeds, every living creature grows. It must, your soul need growth. It's a cry for food. And as your soul cry out for food, God sends the Holy Ghost in your spirit. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you ever heard about tongues or not in your life. Amen. Amen. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what church you never went. Some people believe that if they go to a Pentecostal church, they will receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't know any church. I didn't know God. I mean, God manifests himself to me, and I received the Holy Ghost and began to talk in tongues and didn't know what was happening. I wondered what this thing is. I was ignorant. You see, ignorant, and God showed me what the thing is. I went to him and said, God, I will hang around. I will stay here if you want, if you will give me the thing that Peter and John had. I didn't know what thing it was. Peter and John never said what it was. They just said, silver and gold have I none. But whatever the thing that I have, I'll give you. And said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And the man jumped up and walked. I said, if you give me this thing, Lord Jesus, I will want to stay. Otherwise, take my life. I don't want to stay here. And Jesus came to me and he said on the 70th, and he showed me an explosion. I didn't know that the power that Jesus promised the brethren, the word he used was dynamite. He said, and I will give you dunamis, explosive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But I didn't know all that. All I knew is that he showed me an explosion one. He said the 14th, boom, another explosion. And he said, and then, boom, it blew under my feet and sent me flying. And I get up out the vision gasping. See. And so, the Holy Ghost, therefore, comes, is not a respecter of persons. As I'll tell you something. You know what is the greatest proof of your salvation? You're receiving the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? A sinner cannot receive the Holy Ghost. A sinner cannot receive the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you know that you're saved. And those who don't receive the Holy Ghost tonight, you can receive the Holy Ghost before you leave here, so there's no big deal.
Amen.
No big deal. We just ask God, and God will send his angel immediately with the anointing to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, they have been making too much of a big deal over the thing. Men who lack faith tell you all kind of gimmicks to do. Somebody say, you must say, Jesus. And when your tongue gets tied up, he says, you got it. I've seen that done. I've seen them say the blood. He said, the blood. He said, say it faster. The blood. He said, you got stammering tongue. But we don't have to play those tricks, because Jesus is here just waiting on you to baptize you full of the Holy Ghost. It's God's will. It's God's desire for every human being. So you don't have to play any tricks. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit. He doesn't come into your soul. He comes into your spirit. He's next door to your soul. And then he begins to beam his light into your soul. And he begins to bring suggestions to your mind. If you rebuke him, if you don't accept it, if you don't obey it, he draws in. Some of us only want our Holy Ghost when we're ready to talk in tongues, when we're ready to dance and jump in the church. And I don't know if you, I've been a 20 odd years a Pentecostal minister, not only preaching out Pentecostal churches, but pastoring them. And I know what they give. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I see the thing work. It was a mystery to me. I couldn't understand it. Because a person will switch on God. And in church, they're filled with the Spirit, and they just praise God and filled with the Spirit in church. And as they go, they switch him off. And they may put on their warrior garments, and I mean, they give you a hard time out there.
Amen.
They come back into church and switch on God again.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's like you have the Holy Ghost and you lock him up in a room.
Oh, my goodness.
And you say, no. While I'm doing my business, you just stay in there. You're a visitor here. See? And you do your business and you carry through all your business without the Holy Ghost. And then when evening comes, you let him out. And this is the kind of thing that I have seen among people. But the Holy Ghost wants to be in your life 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. He wants every thought of your mind to be Spirit-led thoughts. He wants your emotions. The Holy Ghost hasn't got to some people's emotions.
No.
Yes, sir. I know people who could be jumping in the Spirit and praising God. Yay! And boys down the back of the service there behave bad and they roll up their sleeves and get down on him and say, let me boof him in Jesus' name. See, a man knock your teeth out of your head. And go right back and preach. Yes, sir. So, I'm not telling any tales out of school. This happened. Every one of you have some kind of experience like it. So, the Holy Ghost then, or the Holy Spirit, comes into your spirit. And your spirit become one with the Holy Spirit. And you become perfect in your spirit. And this is the only area where humanity has perfection at present in his spirit. But read for me Matthew 6. And somebody read a 10th verse for me.
The kingdom of God comes. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. You're praying to God. He said, teach us how to pray, Lord. And what did that prayer say? Say it for me, let me hear.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom. You're praying to God. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
In earth.
In earth.
As it is in heaven.
Not on earth. Not on earth. You sure it's not on earth?
As it is. Done in earth.
In earth.
As it is in heaven.
Uh-huh. So something there is peculiar. Eh? You are praying to God that God's will be done in your earth man as it is in the spiritual realm. That's what you are saying. God, let your will be done in my body.
Mm-hmm.
In my soul, as it is in the spirit. You ever considered it? God, Jesus really gave you something to pray about. Said, thy kingdom come. Now, if the kingdom must come within your soul, as it is in your spirit, then the spirit is going to have to get into your soul. Amen. This is what you're doing. So your daily task is to allow the Spirit of God to overshadow your mind, to overshadow your emotions, to overshadow your desires, and to overshadow your will. Until Christ be formed in your nature. Then you have the mind of Christ. You start think like Jesus Christ thinks. A person comes and gives it to you, and rather than thinking to give him back, you start think like Jesus would think for him. Poor thing. He isn't right. He doesn't know what he's doing. Amen. Blessed be to God. Poor thing. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. A man comes and he looks at you, your hands tied behind you, and he spits right in your face. And you say, poor thing, you don't have any animosity against him. It's the way he thinks. Because he knows that it was a devil that caused that man to do that. Suppose a person was coming against you and you could see the devil egging him on and pushing him and causing him to do it. Would you be so much against him? No. It's because you're blind to spiritual things. So when people are doing evil, they are being pushed to do evil by devils. Other spirits are forcing them, so you must be against the spirit, but not against the person. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when you pray to God, what happens? Liberation of the soul. You're going to have to start praying. But when you pray to God, this is what happens. This is God, the Father up here. And this is God, the Son here. And this is God, the Holy Ghost. And this is your spirit. And this is your soul. And this is your body. Mm-hmm. But very often when you pray to God, it's something you want down here in the body, and the thing you want down there is up here. So God will have to find transportation to send it down to you from up there to down here. God is in your spirit. You know why? Because the thing is yet in the spirit. It's not yet made into the natural. So it comes to you in your spirit. But your soul, nothing can pass your soul unless you permit it. This is why a devil can't just walk up and take you. If the devils could take us, then everybody would belong to the devil. But not even the sinner out there, you know. A devil can't just walk in and take him, you know. Mm-hmm. The devil has to deceive him before he gets him. So, no devil can come and take you, and God himself can't just come and grab you and give you all the fullness of the Godhead. He can't do it. You have to permit it to come through your soul. Your mind has to accept it. Your will has to accept it. Your emotions and everything has to agree. And when they pass through your soul, bam, it comes to pass in the natural. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. You pray to God for something and you start doubting and you didn't believe, you cannot receive it. But if you pray to God and you believe and you begin to thank God for it, because you can see God send it down to you in the spirit the moment you ask for it, then you'll have it. Read that for me. In Matthew 7:7-8. Somebody read that aloud for me.
But everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that asketh, he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
That is it. All right. Everyone that ask, receive. How is it God say you receive? And many people tell me they ask and they don't get what they ask for. But the Bible say you receive it. So then, if I must believe my Bible, I have to believe that God sent it to you, and somehow or the other, you don't have the strength to even take it. As I said before, some people ask for things they can't handle. Amen. It's like the friend of mine who was going to tell me, he looked at a girl and he said, I'm going to ask God for her. And he said, I am just going to claim her. And he was about ready to go and claim her. I said, just a minute. Let's just think. Do you really want her? He said, yes. I said, you know her? He said, no. I said, then why don't you try to get to know her first before you go lay claim to her? You see? And so he got a little frightened, you see. So he eventually decided to do what I tell him. I said, just go talk to her, invite her out to lunch and have a little talk with her. And he came back all shot to pieces. He was so glad he didn't claim. Because he just couldn't handle her. And so you can ask the Lord for something that's too big. You can't handle it. You weren't about ready to handle it. But you ask God. So never ask for anything unless you are sure that when you ask, God's going to give you. And you are sure that you're going to believe that God has given you before you see.
Amen.
You see, because man is spirit, soul, and body. And when you feel in your soul that you have received it, and you thank God for it, then it will come forth in the body. Outside of that, you are wasting a lot of time. Read the 8th chapter of Matthew. And
everyone that asketh,
oh no, no, Matthew 8, it is about the 5th verse.
And when he was entered into the fire, there came unto him a centurion.
Yes, go ahead.
And Lord, my servant lieth in the house, sick of a palsy. Grievously
tormented. Here we are. A man wanted a natural deliverance. The man was sick, had a disease in his body. Amen? And this is the way the man approached it. Go on, let's hear.
He saith unto him, I will come and heal him.
Stop now. He got a word now. Suppose I come to you and I ask you, can you heal my servant for me? I know you can. You say, yes, I will come and heal him. Okay, he got the word. So if you have the word of God, that's the first step. The next step.
And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come into my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be
quiet. Okay, Jesus, since you say you will come, don't come. Amen. Because if you say you'll heal him, then that's all right. That's good enough for me. This was the faith the man had. Then the explanation the man gave, that's what is the great part of the understanding I want you to have tonight.
Well, I also am a man under authority.
I also am a centurion with many soldiers under me.
Having under myself soldiers, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
Amen.
And when Jesus heard it, he marvel and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Praise God. Thank you. You see, now, you see where the man's faith came in. The man approached the spiritual subject with a certain amount of natural understanding. And this is the way I would like you to approach God. You have a father. You go to the father and say, Daddy, I'm in deep trouble. I want help. Are you sick? You're pain. You're in trouble. You want to tell me that your father wasn't going to give you if he could do it? And you know your natural father. You know he's going to do it. Then why don't you know your spiritual father also? Why don't you know your spiritual father? And the Bible said, whatsoever you ask for, you have received it. Now for God's sake, don't ask unless you can see in your mind's eye God saying, take it down and give it to him. And when you can see that, your soul is opened. And when your soul is opened, the blessing comes through. Now, if you must liberate your soul, by the power of God, you're going to have to believe the word of God. Now, first of all, if you believe, for instance, that you're supposed to be sick, you cannot be healed. If you believe that your sickness is doing some great glory to God, like some people do, you see, I am suffering with Christ, it's a glory to God that I am sick, then you cannot be healed. But if you believe that God's will is that all sick people should be healed, then you can be healed. Amen. Because this is the will of God. God didn't will for some people to be sick and some to be healthy. If that was the case, all the bad people would be sick. And all the good people would be healthy.
That's right.
Isn't that so? But some of us, the devil oppress our bodies. And the power of deliverance must come through the soul. Did you hear me? I wonder if you got it right. If you believe God, you can be set free. And now Jesus Christ died not only for our sins, but our sicknesses. Read your Bible and let's see if that's true. It's in Isaiah 53. Isn't it in Luke 2? Read that for me, somebody.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. Is that the one you want?
Yes, ma'am.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes
we are healed. And then we find the same thing in Matthew 8. Yeah. He was wounded for our transgressions. For that's our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So God knew that because of sin we in the world, we would get sick. And God had already provided for our healing. You know, some people believe that even natural things like a motor car accident, broken bones can't be healed by God. I've seen broken bones healed by God more than one time. Yeah, I've seen the woman whose old hip was all smashed out and her leg was dead, completely dead, and they had her in the iron boots and things, and she had crutches on her arm, and the doctor wanted to amputate the leg. We prayed for that woman. She walked that evening. And she's walking now. And those bones that were smashed up, they still don't have them there. But she's walking without them. Yeah. There's a man here seeing without any eyeball. He has nothing inside here. There's just a bare sockets. And he sees and reads 20/20 vision. He's preaching around here. See. So this is what we're dealing with. God said all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. You know, and it's a shame that we really doubt God. Amen. It's just a shame that we cannot believe God. You know, when I became a Christian first, just a few days, I opened the Bible and I saw whatsoever ye are, in my name, I'll do it. I said, Lord. I said, wonder if this is one of the mistakes in the Bible. I couldn't believe it. I said, you mean to say you, God, will do what I ask? Anything I want, you will do it. You know, it kind of turned the thing upside down to me. God didn't become my servant. So I went to God. I said, God, is this wrong or is this right? Should I believe this just as it is? God said, it is just as you see it there. He said, but what you must do is try it out. You see what I mean? Just try it. The word is right there. Jesus said, if you ask, I'll do it. So ask for something. Well, I just couldn't think of anything to ask for. And that was what was good about my Christian life, because somebody would right away ask for some money. You know, I never thought of that. I never thought that I could be so base with God. I thought of something higher, you know. So I said, well, if I could find a sick person, I would ask for their healing. And tonight, Doris, when you asked me about the scripture which said, blessed are the poor in heart, the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. For they shall be called the children of God. All right, the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. I immediately thought of when I found the sick person, how I rejoiced. I said, thank God, God provide a sick person for me. You see, so in other words, blessed are those who are poor so that they can get rich in God. And so I rushed down the street to hunt for a sick person. And I found, eventually they sent me to a woman that was in bed and pretty bad. Just sick in bed, couldn't move, get up. And I rushed in there and laid hands on her. Now the first I'm going to see this, never seen anybody do it before, never heard about it, but the Bible says so I do it. So lay hands on her. Jesus, I pray that you will heal this woman according to your word. And then I step back to see what happened. Well, she talk a little, you know, and glad and thank me for coming and so on. Then she swing her 2 feet off the bed and went and got herself a drink of water. I said to myself, well, probably she was like that, you know. Maybe she could do that before, you know. So I'm there watching her. But then her husband was frightened, you know. And he said, well, so I asked her how she said she feels much better. She's better, but I could hardly believe it, you know. And that's the kind of story. Jesus said, if you pray and you believe, whatever you have in your heart, that he will do. So all you have to do is to make sure that you believe before you pray. Because if you don't believe that God's going to heal this young man, don't pray. But when you believe that he's going to be healed, then pray for him. Hallelujah. So it takes the dealing with your own soul. Many of us, they're praying, oh God, do so and so, oh God, do so. It's our own souls we should be dealing with. We should be sanctifying our thoughts, our emotions, our desires. Amen. You know, do I really want to serve God? We were in Texas, and this boy got shot through his head. And he was pretty bad. They turned him down on his face. He was unconscious for 5 days. I crept under him, look up to him, tell him about Jesus, and say, I make a covenant with you. If you will agree to this agreement, you will live. I said, if you agree to give your life to Jesus, now God is going to make you live. He came out of his unconsciousness and said, thank you. Yes, 5 days unconscious, never said a word. And when I asked him to make an agreement with God, he said, thank you, and I couldn't believe it. I repeated everything right over and asked him again, and he said, thank you again, and I saw him this time. Because at the first time I had got up and was going out when he shouted, thank you. But the boy lived. Because he made a covenant with God. It wasn't just that he wanted to get up, to go back out there, to go back and sin. So the soul is the most powerful thing that God has in the earth, man's soul. Many people are using their soul for the wrong purposes now. They are practicing mind culture, yoga, different meditations. I've seen men meditate on something and a book jump out of the case and knock itself on the other wall. Yeah. Seen men meditate. I mean, your soul has this power. You know why? Your soul is a spirit. is a living spirit that can do things. But what's the profit? Now, we're talking about letting Jesus control your soul. Just allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to take over your mind, your thinking, your emotions, your desires, your will. And you will have all things that God say you can have in the Bible. Your Bible will come alive. You believe it? You see, people talking about God is dead. It is they who are dead. Yeah. Because if you're dead anyhow, you can't see God if he was alive. That's the situation. But anybody who will accept this word, turn to the ways of God, let God rule in your mind. Every time you think a thought about anybody that is wrong, you know it's not of God. Somebody comes and tell me that God gave him a vision about somebody else. And the other person is so and so and is so and so and is so and so and no good. Not true. God not telling you anything bad about anybody else. Judas was as bad as the devil. And Jesus never told on him. Not telling you. God will deal with him. And if God knows you love the person very much, he may let you into a little secret too, so that you can go help the person. He knows you're going to help the person. But if it's in some of the prophecy that I see going on, they're not of God. So, let's see if we can understand what we learn. Because if we learn this one point, we put it into operation. See, every time you learn something, you practice it. Don't, never just learn for learn's sake. Head knowledge is no good. God said, puff you up, make you feel like you're great. You see? But spirit knowledge is the thing that you will use. Now, your mind and your thinking, can you imagine what you think since morning? This morning, I lie down and was thinking something about something natural. I don't remember what it was, but just like something natural. And God said, if you continue thinking that, the devil will get into your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. You spend too much time count your money. Yeah. Decide on what you're going to buy for the Christmas. Mm-hmm. How much you're going to spend, how you're going to do your thing. Spend too much time on that, the devil get right into it. Mm-hmm. Because that is his territory. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking when you are communing with God. Immediately to turn the devil off, I switch on to the cross. Before I go back to any thinking, I switch on to the cross and begin to think of Jesus and the cross and the blood dripping down. Now the devil can't stand that. I wonder if you see what I'm driving at, brethren. Your mind is the chief area of your soul. It's the mouth of your soul that takes in everything that comes into the soul. Your mind. Your emotions is another great problem. The Bible describes your emotions as a wild beast. And if you cannot control your emotions, you are a person that is not under proper God control. You understand? You've got to be able to feel, to do so and so, and don't do it. And do what is right. Yeah. The story I tell you of the guy that came and started beating me and I just didn't strike back. It's not because I didn't feel to knock his head off. Mm-hmm. Why I didn't do it. But because I was controlling the feeling. Mm-hmm. I felt like giving it to him. And I had to control the feeling so that I was trembling in the act of controlling while he was driving all the blows at me. But eventually, when I won the battle, the peace of God flooded over me. And I'm glad I never touched him. You know? He came back and he said, well, You are the first Christian I've ever met. Poor fellow. Poor thing. Can you imagine what kind of victory would it be for me to knock him down? No victory at all. How could I ever glory in that? It would be painful to know that you're preaching the gospel to somebody and then you knock him down. You see, if the emotions are not under control, they will destroy the whole soul. Your will must not be set on things that are not according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. But in your own thinking, every time you catch yourself thinking carnal things, switch off. Because you have the power to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want us to have a discussion. I don't feel we should go on with any more preaching. I feel we should just talk. Discuss, and it's not very clear to you. Let's just discuss, free discussion. God bless you, then. The meeting is open for discussion now. Do you understand what we have said? Do you understand now how to get something done by God? How to get God to work? First of all, you must believe that God will do the thing for you. Amen?
Amen?
Then if you believe that God will do it for you, it's the first step, because you know right away that somebody must have told you that. Something inside of you, and that must be God plant that in you, that belief, that faith in you, to believe that you will receive. Hallelujah. Then the next step is to know that God will do it for you now if you ask Him. Don't believe that God's going to send an angel tomorrow. The centurion said, you have workmen under you, and whatever you tell them to do, it will be done. So when you ask God, you must believe that immediately God sends it down to you, and it is now in your spirit. And if you just thank God for it and really feel grateful for the deliverance, it will come forth in your body or in the physical world. Do you understand that? You understand the principle? Now let's anybody who have a question on the matter, let's just discuss the situation. Yes.
When Matthew
8,
when he received the answer, I will come and heal him.
Yes.
Or a specific answer.
Thank you.
Do we need a specific answer each time there is illness, or do we take Isaiah 53 to be general?
We need both. First of all, basically, God wants nobody sick. It's not God's will that anybody should be sick. But we get sick because of different reasons. One reason or another, one arrow, one fall in the hand of the devil here, or fall in the hand of the devil there. Therefore, this power must be broken, and God has given us the power to break the stronghold of the devil. Therefore, God will not come in Himself and just do it unless you really believe it and you ask it. See, he says, the king from John, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence. Peculiar word, eh? Let me show it to you. It's in Luke. I think it's Matthew 11. It's in Matthew. Matthew 11, verse 12. Somebody read that for me.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and in violence take it by force.
Amen. Yes. And so God is saying that you need to be very persuasive and violent in pressing the kingdom of God for what you want. You see? And if anything is wrong with you, God will show you how to get the wrong out so that you might have what you want. Very often, the devil holds you because you submit to him. Amen. The devil will hold you because you submit to him. If you get up and determine and don't take no for an answer, you hear God said there, seek, in the 7:7, seek and ye shall find. Then he said, knock and it shall be opened. He said, first ask and ye shall receive. Then seek. So if you ask and you receive and you lost something, seek for it. If you had something that is lost, you just don't sit down on it. You seek for it. Your dog leaves your house and you can't find him. You put it in the newspapers. You put it on the radio. You search for him. And God is saying to you, just as you would do in the natural, do in the spiritual. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Well, God wants me to be. Don't give up. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. And he said, if it is a door that is locked, and you want a door open, knock on the door. Keep knocking on the door. He said, it shall be open. These are spiritual laws that God gives us. We do not have to accept what the devil is doing to us. God wants us to know that whatever we desire, we will have it. Amen. Whatever we desire, we will have. We have seen some of the most wonderful miracles. A woman taken with cancer in every limb, every organ of her body taken. She given a week to live. The doctor's sure she can't live. We went down there, pray for her, Sister White, and boom, she jumped out of her bed. And she started washing her clothes. She was completely healed. We have seen other people healed too. Sister Thomas had a big bump in her left breast cancer. They were going to cut off the breast. Pray for her. Healed same time. Went right back to the doctor. And they couldn't find it. Although they had a picture of it. The people must begin to believe God for themselves.
Amen.
We mustn't wait on to see every evangelist that come into town to carry our ills to him. God wants a body that will rise up and take all that over the devil and the things. This is our world. God didn't put us here to suffer. God put us here to overcome. He said he subjected us in hope. Did you ever think of that scripture we read last night? When the soul is delivered, the soul will turn around and deliver the body. Romans 8:19-23, that's what it says. That the body itself shall be delivered from corruption into the liberty of the sons of God. You'll have a body that is not corruptible. Don't you see a complete healing is going to come to every human being? Everybody will be brought back into a perfect relationship with God. Yes, did that answer your question? I got strained from it. If you don't get it quite, ask again, ask another question. Because you see, no matter how much I answer the question, if you don't get the answer, then it is not answered. See, we need to walk in what we hear. We had a way of going to church and say, well, it was a good sermon. Mm-hmm. We're not having any more sermons. Mm-hmm. We want God to speak to us.
Amen.
And we want to obey what God says.
Amen.
Any question that is on anybody's mind?
How to know if his wife will pay tithe. If you don't pay tithe, will you really be cursed?
Well, if you don't pay tithes, you will be cursed, according to... that's a question, eh? And if you don't pay tithes, you'll be cursed. Praise God. When Jesus Christ died, he delivered us from the curse of the law. And he delivered us from the law. Now, if tithe paying is a law, then you have been, through Jesus Christ, been also delivered from tithe paying. But the only way you are delivered from tithe paying is if you are obeying Jesus Christ in giving what Jesus Christ tells you to give. Then you're delivered because you are on a higher plane. See? But suppose you went back and put yourself in bondage and went and signed an agreement to pay tithe, like you sign an agreement to buy a motor car. Then you are responsible and you should pay it if you sign an agreement, unless that agreement is annulled or you say, well, I don't believe in it and so on and I quit that. But while you have agreed to pay it, then you should do anything you agreed to do, because that is just ordinary spiritual integrity. So let me see if I can give you the truth in another way. The Bible said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is Saturday. But you were delivered from keeping the Sabbath day, the Saturday, when you received the Holy Ghost Sabbath rest inside of you. Amen. So if you don't have a rest in the Spirit, when the blood of Jesus take you, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. So he give you the Sabbath inside of you. So you don't have to keep that Sabbath out here again, because that one is fulfilled and finished by Jesus. So the law which said Israel must pay tithes and you are cursed with a curse, it's not fair. When I as a minister take a thing from out the Old Testament and read it to you and said you must do it. Well, if you must do Malachi, why don't you do Exodus? Are you with me? You understand what it is? It's irrational. It's not reasonable for me to say you must obey one part of the law and don't obey the other part. If you're going to obey law, obey law. For if law can make you righteous, I'll know. Paying tithes can't make you righteous. Some of my wickedest members are the best tithe payers. Yes, sir. They pay tithes and they want to rule the church. Yes, not might. It's going to be, for you're a son now. You're a son of God, or at least you're trying to be a son of God. Therefore, you follow what your father wants you to do. Everything you have is his. When you earn your money, you shouldn't say, well, it's my money and I do what I want with it. So you go and you buy a whole different heap of trinkets and all kind of foolishness. That's where you're desecrating and hurting your own earning power. God will leave you and leave your prosperity will leave you. But if you put that money before God, say, bless it, Lord. You bless this money. And let it be for your service. Everything that I do with this money, let it be. And God brings to you some need. That's God's storehouse, you know. Did you know that where God tell you to give, that's where your storehouse is? I used to be a minister and I used to preach that at least we were taught to tell the people that the storehouse is this church. Where you have your membership, that's the storehouse. Bring ye all the tithes into this 47 Market Street or wherever. Bring all your tithes into that storehouse. That's what we used to tell them. And if you don't do it, God's going to kill you now, remember? Oh, God bless you, sister.
Do 10% of our earnings belong to God?
That's what we mean by tithe, you know. That's what we just finished talking about. The whole of what you earn belongs to God. Don't you belong to God?
Yes.
So what you have, who it belong to?
Yes.
Huh. Then how come you're going to give him 10%? you know what I mean? Well, this is your share, God. You just take it and go your way. You know, this is your share, God. You share out and give God. That's bad. That's audacious. Sometimes God's going to tell you, give the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
You're going to give him the whole thing, and you're going to go home, and God provide for you.
Amen.
I've seen God done that, and that's the way God works. You're going to have to sanctify your money before God, and every cent that is spent, you are the steward that is going to handle the money. Right? And when you put it before God, you say, God, tell me how to spend it. And anything God tells you to give, you better give.
Amen.
Amen. Exactly. And where too? Where he tells you to give, you give it there too. Because many of us give the wrong places because we are ministered to that we must give it to this place because this is where our membership is.
But that means we don't have to go running to the church to give money
tithe,
right?
No. I mean, yes, that's right. I mean, no, you mustn't run. But I there's a caution here. Because many people stop paying tithes and they stop giving God what he said. They can't hear God. So for our children and carnal Christians, the best thing for them to do is to pay a tithe. You understand? Set yourself a tithe so that you don't rob God. For you're not hearing God anyhow. You see what I'm talking about? You're not listening to God because I've seen many people and they're glad to hear the preaching which said free them from tithe. And they say, oh, thank God I'm free now. And they're free and they take the money and save it up to buy a boat or do something else. See? Did I see it? Yeah.
What is and where is that?
Heaven is a realm of the spirit. I'll explain that, and in explaining it, I'll explain where it is. Right? When you ask me where heaven is, you are thinking of a place like how I can look on the map and said and say Champagne is so many degrees north. And the longitude and latitude, and I can pinpoint on the map where Champagne is, and anywhere I travel over the world, Champagne remains same place. It doesn't move, right? So as far as material and natural things are concerned, a place is a specific location, right? But in the spirit, a place is not a location. A place is like a frequency of the electricity. Like you would have six radios in this room and you tune them to six different stations and each station is coming into its own radio and none of them are crossing and mixing up in the middle of the room. You see what I'm trying to say? The voice of the announcer coming away from over Peoria, it comes right into that radio because it's on a special frequency and the radio is tuned to that frequency. The other voice coming in doesn't mix into that voice because it's in a different world entirely. So right now tonight we are in this room and the sound you are hearing is because your ears are on the same frequency that my ears and my voice is on. But if I could speak in a high pitched voice that you